Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, and I'm reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, October 4th, 2020. I'm narrating these articles on Thursday, October 8th. We'll begin with the most recent articles, and I'll give the date of publication before each article I read. COVID-19 update. October 8th, City of San Angelo. 3,968 positive cases reported. 36 new positive cases. 78 deaths. 54 Tom Green County residents. 24 out-of-county residents. 14 currently hospitalized. 261 active cases. Affidavit states San Angelo man charged with threatening second woman with gun in August assault. By Elena Edgen. Published October 7th. A San Angelo man previously arrested in August on suspicion of choking a woman in August has been arrested after another woman reported an assault related to the same case, record state. About 3:30 a.m. August 9th, police responded to a domestic disturbance in the 12,000 block of Old Mill Road. A woman told dispatchers her ex-husband tried to enter the residence with a gun after firing it several times, according to an earlier affidavit. A female witness saw the man grab the woman by the neck while saying, "You're not scared of me," record state. As the assault continued, the witness told the man to stop. He then started to approach the witness, saying, "You think I'm scared of you?" When the woman being assaulted pushed him back, record state. The women locked themselves inside the residence, which the man attempted to enter. The first witness heard him say, "I will expletive kill you, expletive," according to the affidavit. During a September 20th interview with police, the witness told officers she had known the man most of her life and described him as violent, record state. She also said she knew she did not mean anything to him, and if he was willing to harm his wife and their children there, then what would he be willing to do to her? Obed Jimenez, 31, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released from the Tom Green County Detention Center hours later on a $75,000 bond as of 11 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Parade of Smiles to be held for residents at San Angelo State Supported Living Center by Rosanna Aguilera, published October 8th. A Parade of Smiles is scheduled to take place in Carlsbad on Saturday, October 10th, in hopes of lifting spirits for residents at the San Angelo State Supported Living Center. Volunteers are hoping to get plenty of people from the community to drive by and wave and cheer for the residents, a news release stated. Participants can decorate their cars, create a float, or ride a horse, golf cart, or any other vehicle. Inspirational signs are also encouraged. All participants must stay in the car or parade and must not leave the road to approach the fence. This is for the health of the residents of the facility, the release stated. The residents at the Living Center have intellectual and/or developmental disabilities and have not been able to leave campus since March, according to the release. Volunteers are hoping the parade will put a smile on the residents' faces. Participants are asked to arrive at the staging arena at 9:30 a.m. in the parking lot at the corner of Beaumont Street and U.S. 87 North in Carlsbad. A volunteer will ask you to form in line for the parade, which will start at 10 a.m. No items can be thrown from vehicles. For more information, call 817-504-6385. Affidavit states Carlsbad man arrested after hitting person with gun at San Angelo Motel by Elena Edgen, published Wednesday, October 7th. A Carlsbad man has been arrested after a man was hit with a gun at a San Angelo motel, according to an arrest affidavit obtained Wednesday. On Monday, October 5th, police responded to a fight at a motel parking lot in the 300 block of North Bryant Boulevard. Officers found a man with visible injuries to his face, according to the affidavit. Video surveillance from the motel showed two people arguing with the injured man. One person removed the man from the vehicle, attempting to physically fight him, according to the affidavit. The man retreated to his vehicle as another man pursued. The second man ran to the driver's side window and struck the man's face with a handgun, record state. The injured man feared for his life during the assault, according to the affidavit. Joseph Allen Ramirez, 27, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 1 p.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. The affidavit did not name the person who pulled the man from the vehicle. San Angelo officials calls it a game changer. City approves $600,000 contract with railroad. By John Tufts, published October 6th. City council members approved ratifying a $600,000 real estate contract and performance agreement Tuesday with the South Plains La Mesa Railroad, a decision one official called a game changer for San Angelo. As part of the agreement, Wisner Holdings, doing business as South Plains La Mesa Railroad, will purchase nearly 200 acres from the city to operate a rail port. The city purchased a 183-acre triangle tract of land for $541,813 in September 2019 in hopes of boosting San Angelo's economy by adding an industrial rail facility. The site officials purchased is bounded by the Texas Pacifico Rail Line on the west side of the property, with its base along the East 50th Street, and its annex at Farm to Market Road 2105. Wearing a powder blue face mask, Guy Andrews expressed his enthusiasm for the project. "This is an exciting day," said Andrews, a director for the City of San Angelo Development Corporation, commonly referred to as COSA-DC. "We view this as a game changer for San Angelo. We've been working on this project for nearly 2 years." Andrews stood on the other side of a plexiglass shield, positioned about 6 feet away from San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter and other city council members Tuesday, October 6th. It was the first time in nearly 6 months officials had gathered at the McNeese Convention Center, 501 Rio Concho Drive, to conduct an in-person city council meeting since COVID-19 led meetings to be hosted virtually to reduce the spread of the virus. Council members wore face masks and sat behind plexiglass shields during the meeting. Andrews told city officials the $600,000 sales contract would have zero payment interest for 6 years, and payments would be forgiven to allow the company to own the facility so long as South Plains La Mesa Railroad upheld its end of a negotiated performance agreement. "The main provisions of our performance agreement with them is that they will initially invest $1 million to build out the initial facility," Andrews said. In addition to following local, state, and federal guidelines and maintaining a functional rail facility, other portions of the agreement include keeping at least 2 full-time employees by 2023 and doing business with local contractors for supplies. Rail facility could lead to more businesses, more jobs, and make San Angelo a transportation hub. During an interview Wednesday, October 7th with the Standard Times, Andrews stated work on the facility would likely begin in the next 6 months, with plans for the rail port to be completed by December 2021. He also said the rail port could make San Angelo a key transportation hub in the future, which could lead to new businesses and more jobs for residents. "One of the values of this rail port is that it ties in with the opening of the South Orient Railroad, which is operated by Texas Pacifico," Andrews said. "We could become a new major distribution center of products coming out of Mexico, and that also gives us the opportunity to send products to Mexico as well. It could be a huge deal with the North American Free Trade Agreement. San Angelo is the largest city on that rail line, so we're well positioned to accept that type of freight to ship goods and services to Mexico." According to its company website, South Plains La Mesa Railroad has been serving the South Plains region of Texas since 1993. The company has a rail park located in Slayton, Texas, and serves as a transloading site for West Texas and eastern New Mexico. Council members approved ratifying the contract unanimously, 7-0. "This is an exciting opportunity for San Angelo," said District 6 Councilwoman Billy DeWitt, who thanked city officials involved with the project. Gunter echoed her thanks and said the rail facility would improve San Angelo's economy. "This is hugely important for us, not only for potential recruitment of companies going forward, but to support all the local businesses, whether they're agricultural, oil and gas related, or any other things. This has been a long time coming," Gunter said. A closing date for the real estate contract has been set for October 15th, 2020. San Angelo police report Nissan Xterra in fatal hit and run, driver still at large. Published September 29th. Update. The suspect vehicle in the fatal hit and run on September 28th is a 2002-2004 Nissan Xterra. If you know anyone who owns or operates this specified model, any color, and the vehicle has recent front-end damage, contact Detective D. Welch at 325-657-4308. Here's the initial story. San Angelo police are searching for a hit-and-run driver who killed an 87-year-old man who was crossing the street in a motorized wheelchair Monday night, according to a news release. On Monday, September 28th, police were dispatched to Upton Street and North Schroeder Avenue just before 9 p.m. for the report of a major motor vehicle crash involving a pedestrian and an SUV. The victim was identified as Jesse Hernandez. Campaign signs in San Angelo are again being damaged this election season, by Elena Edgen, published October 5th. Update. The Tom Green County Republican Party and Democratic Party have issued responses Tuesday regarding signs being stolen or vandalized. Jane Ryder, a member of the Democratic Party, mentioned they have had some people come in after their Democratic signs were stolen or damaged. "We just need to be respectful of other people's opinions and property," Ryder said. "Some blame the Democrats or Republicans, and both sides are probably at fault." Ryder also noted that if someone's sign is stolen or damaged, they can come by for a new one when the next shipment comes in. The next shipment could come in later this week or early next week. "Let's not burden the police with having to deal with stolen campaign signs," Ryder said. "Let's let them take care of more serious things in our community." Jeff Betty, county Republican chair, issued a news release Tuesday about sign damage and theft. "Hundreds of Trump signs have been stolen, destroyed, or vandalized here in the Concho Valley," said Jeff Betty, party chair for the county. "If you have had a sign stolen or damaged and wish to have a large wood sign placed in your yard, please call and leave your name and address with a volunteer here at the Tom Green County Republican Party headquarters. People can contact the party at 325-716-1030 or message them on Facebook about getting a sign. Police had received 5 reports of stolen or damaged campaign signs as of October 1st, one less than they had total during the 2006 presidential election. Statistics show that there is a relatively minor occurrence in San Angelo of this, and currently there are no indications of there being more incidents of this taking place this year as opposed to in 2016, said Josh Schultz, police sergeant. Tom Green County Sheriff's Office reported no damaged or stolen signs as of October 1st. "Destroying a sign would be criminal mischief, while stealing a sign would be theft of property. Both are misdemeanors with a fine of $500, according to police. People can report damaged or stolen signs to police online at sanangelopolice.org or call the non-emergency number at 325-657-4315. The Tom Green County Democratic Party has signs available at its office, 12 East Tuig Avenue. People can get signs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Saturday. These are available by donation. The Tom Green County Republican Party has signs available at their office, 225 South Abe, from 1 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The signs are free. People can also buy signs at the campaign sites. Trump-Pence signs are available at DonaldJTrump.com and Biden-Harris signs are available at JoeBiden.com. First look, Baptist Retirement completes $8.4 million makeover in changes to San Angelo facility, by John Tufts, published October 6th. Baptist Retirement Community has completed an $8.4 million makeover in renovations that began about 2 years ago to more than 20,000 square feet of its facilities. Officials said the Henley Mabee High Rise, 903 North Main Street, will operate as an independent living apartment building for seniors looking to maintain an active lifestyle, and includes upgrades to its reception area, community room, cafe, and salon. What facilities have changed? Buckner Retirement Services, which has operated BRC since 2010, announced during a 2018 news conference that renovations would touch on key features of the senior living community. "This is the start of the first phase of renovations here," said Buckner Senior Vice President Charlie Wilson in 2018. We began in 2016 opening the Crest, an assisted living memory care building servicing seniors here in the Concho Valley area. Officials said the high-rise independent living apartment building and the Sagecrest nursing building would get full remodels to update its aesthetics and have added curb appeal to the community. After renovating a 21,047 square feet, the Henley Mabee high-rise has a new main lobby, dining spaces, and other amenities officials hope senior residents can use to socialize and connect. Prior to the renovation, officials said the building's lobby felt closed off and disorganized. A design firm relocated the front desk from a nearby corridor to a central visible reception desk and created a concierge area. The gift shop has been relocated from previously vacant resident units into the west lobby near a newly remodeled restaurant, according to a release. Officials said the Henley Mabee's Main Street Cafe will offer a dining space for both its residents and the general public. In the time since it was originally built, the cafe had become aesthetically outdated, a news release stated. Today, the newly designed space offers a clear sense of entry for residents and incorporates local artwork and ceramics and signage throughout to create a cohesively branded, vibrant destination for residents and the community at large. Tour the facilities yourself. Two open houses for the public to tour the renovated facilities will be held October 29th from 10 a.m. to noon and November 5th from 2 to 4 p.m. Buckner officials said the groups will be kept small and socially distanced and masks will be required. Those who wish to tour the facilities can do so by contacting BRC Director of Marketing Aaron Kelly at 325-481-7510 or via email at erin.kelly@buckner.org. Murder at Fort Concho event still scheduled for October 2020. Tickets going on sale soon. By Rosanna Aguilera, published October 6th. Despite numerous events being canceled in 2020, Murder at Fort Concho is still on as scheduled with safety guidelines. The fort canceled its annual Christmas at Old Fort Concho event scheduled for the weekend of December 4th through the 6th due to COVID-19 challenges. However, the game, modeled after the board game Clue, is still in place this year. Murder at Fort Concho gives you the opportunity to play detective for a night, according to the event description at fortconcho.com. Listen to the suspect's alibis, search for clues, and help Miss Terry Salva solve the whodunit. The event will take place Saturday, October 24th at 630 South Oak Street from 7 to 10:30 p.m. The program will begin in the Visitor Center at Barracks 1, and parking will be available across Oak Street. Masks must be worn, and social distancing will be required both on the grounds and within any building, according to the fort. Tickets are $10 for the general public and $8 for Fort Concho members. The first available time slot will be 7 p.m., with additional start times scheduled every 15 minutes until 9 p.m. Guests can purchase tickets in the Visitor Center at 630 South Oak Street or by calling 325-481-2646 starting Monday, October 12th. Since capacity for each time slot is limited, tickets will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis. The next article will be a lengthy one, but the Recording Library feels that one of our responsibilities is to provide all information in order for people to make an informed decision when voting. Elections. We asked 10 questions to TX11 candidates running for Congress. Here's what they said. By John Tufts, published October 6th. The Standard Time sent a questionnaire to the three candidates running for the 11th Congressional District of Texas. Wacy Alva Cody, Libertarian, John Mark Hogg, Democrat, and August Pfluger, Republican. Candidates were asked to keep their responses brief and limited to 4 to 5 sentences. Their responses are listed alphabetically by candidate. Some responses were edited for clarity and length. Here are their responses. Wacy Alpha Cody, Libertarian. Wacy Alpha Cody of San Angelo is a bronc rider who graduated from Angelo State University and holds a master's degree from that school. As a fourth-generation cowboy, Cody's platform focuses on improving conditions for farmers and ranchers, reining in government spending and micromanagement, reforming the mental health and criminal justice systems, and improving access to treatment of addiction, among other issues. 1. If you can only accomplish one thing during your first term, what do you want it to be? I would remind voters in this district, they control our government, and the government is supposed to answer to them. We now live in an age where the government thinks it is acceptable to cherry-pick industries and tell them whether these industries are essential or not. 2. At a time when our country seems ideologically divided along party lines, if elected, how will you represent all constituents and not just your base supporters? First off, it is not realistic to represent all constituents with every vote I make. Although I will do my best, there will always be voters not satisfied with my choices. Secondly, the vast majority of people I speak with want the federal government to let them live their lives and quit wasting their tax dollars. As such, the best way to represent that belief is to fight government overreach into all of our lives, whether you believe the ideals I do or not. 3. What is your stance on the Black Lives Matter movement? It is BS that plays on emotions from tragedies to get politicians elected. I am sure somewhere along the way that a small group of activists are getting loaded off of the movement as well. 4. Are there any political figures, living or dead, that inspire you, and why? Teddy Roosevelt. I believe he was a common man. In many ways, I see his success similar to John Wayne's iconic status. He was one of the people, not above the people. 5. What do you see as the top issue facing those who live in Texas's 11th district? What legislation would you propose to solve it? Government overreach. I would vote no when my colleagues want to spend the public's money, and by default, tax people more. Remember, every time a politician says we need to pass legislation, it means we're going to tax you more. Government is necessary on all levels, but it has become invasive, wasteful, and bloated on every level. 6. What's something Texas 11 voters might not already know about you? I am a distant relative of William F. Buffalo Bill Cody. 7. What's the biggest way COVID-19 is impacting Texas's 11th district? If elected, how do you propose to address that issue in Congress? Let people live their lives. If you are a demographic at high risk, then work from home. The Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, should be adjusted to cover working from home. Other than that, the government has no business telling you whether you can go to the movies, a football game, or on a date. You have the right to live your life without micromanagement from the federal government. 8. Do you still support the proposed interstate expansion through San Angelo? Why or why not? Leave that to the citizens that live in the proposed corridor. Let the voters dictate how they want their communities designed, not what is easiest for the federal government. 9. What kind of inequalities do you think residents living in Texas's 11th district currently face? What should be done to address those inequalities? Government can only create inequality. Look at every nation that is communist, socialistic, then ask yourself, do I want to live in China, Cuba, Russia, North Korea? The majority of those citizens are indeed equal. They are equally unimportant commodities for the powers that be to use as they see fit. 10. What's the biggest issue farmers and ranchers in Texas's 11th district are facing that legislation could solve? The biggest issue is a bloated federal government won't kick them off the tit. We all have to wean ourselves off of government subsidies. I believe in our agri industry. Let's quit charging plumbers, truck drivers, teachers, and every other industry to bankroll the agriculture industry. Here's a crazy concept: free market enterprise. John Mark Hogg, Democrat. John Mark Hogg is a partner in the law firm of Jackson Walker, LLC, who has more than 25 years of experience as a litigator and mediator, having represented several municipalities, counties, and businesses in the district. He is board certified in labor and employment law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. Hogg is a graduate of Baylor University and St. Mary's University School of Law. He is a former member of the San Angelo City Council, served as mayor pro tem, and has held positions on several boards and commissions. 1. If you can only accomplish one thing during your first term, what do you want it to be? I would stop the plan to store highly radioactive waste in District 11. 2. At a time when our party seems ideologically divided along party lines, if elected, how will you represent all constituents and not just your base supporters? That process began 28 years ago when I made this district my home. I was married here. My children were born and raised here. I have spent my entire career here. I know the people of this district as neighbors and friends, not as Republicans and Democrats, opponents and supporters. Across the years, we have all faced challenges and worked on solutions together, because that is what we do out here. I cannot imagine that changing. We must not let the politics of Washington change how we treat each other. I will work to strengthen and expand these relationships, just as I have throughout my life, for the benefit of all people in District 11. 3. What is your stance on the Black Lives Matter movement? The Black Lives Matter movement springs out of and is a continuation of the civil rights movements that have been a part of our national life since before the end of slavery. It is the demand that we live up to our national creed that all are created equal. This particular movement has arisen because a long history of injustice, which has been ignored just as long. The civil rights movement is not history. It is our constant challenge every day as a nation to strive for a more just society, a justice system where there is no difference in treatment because of your station or position, poverty or wealth, or the color of your skin. If people are made uncomfortable by the movement, the best solution is to engage with it and help create the conditions where such a movement is no longer necessary. 4. Are there any political figures, living or dead, that inspire you, and why? I'm not sure if inspire is the right word, but there are many political figures whom I particularly respect and admire. I particularly admire stories of figures who have shown political courage by standing for what is right, in spite of tremendous pressure and against overwhelming odds. One of my favorites is Davy Crockett, because he had the courage to stand up against Andrew Jackson and his own political party to oppose the Indian Removal Act. This stand cost him his political career, which sent him on to Texas. 5. What do you see as the top issue facing those who live in Texas's 11th district? What legislation would you propose to solve it? Today, addressing the COVID-19 pandemic and getting back to school and work safely is our most immediate and important problem we need to solve. Congress should pass a bill creating and funding a national testing and contact tracing program. It should also ensure that all workers have the PPE they need to return to work and school safely. In addition, we must provide temporary paid sick leave for those who are unable to work because of the virus or any quarantine, or who miss work because of the need to care for a family member who is infected with the virus. 6. What's something Texas 11 voters might not already know about you? My parents were Baptist missionaries, and I spent my childhood in Trinidad and Tobago in the West Indies. 7. What's the biggest way COVID-19 is impacting Texas's 11th district? If elected, how do you propose to address that issue in Congress? Unemployment. This problem can only be solved by leadership from Washington and Austin, focused on getting and maintaining control over the spread of the virus. Until that is accomplished, our current economic situation will continue for a long time to come. I propose to work in Congress with the Biden administration to create a national response to address this national pandemic as addressed above. 8. Do you still support the proposed interstate expansion through San Angelo? Why or why not? Yes, expansion of either I-27 from the north or creation of I-14 is essential to the continued growth of the district and is necessary if we want to capitalize on international trade with Mexico and beyond. 9. What kind of inequalities do you think residents living in Texas's 11th district currently face? What should be done to address those inequalities? Hunger, poverty, and inequality of education, among others. Hunger is the most important issue we should address, as from it flow many of the others. There is no reason why any person or child in the United States should go hungry. I believe increased public, nonprofit, corporate partnerships, such as the Texas Hunger Initiative and others, are a model we should use in attacking the problem of hunger. 10. What's the biggest issue farmers and ranchers in Texas's 11th district are facing that legislation could solve? They have been crippled by a foolish and never-ending trade war and by the over-centralization of markets and control of the means of transport, sale, and processing of their products. If the president will not do it, Congress must intervene and end the trade war to stop its crippling impact on agriculture across the nation. Congress should also fully fund the antitrust section of the Department of Justice and require an assertive enforcement of antitrust laws where there is unlawful concentration of economic power and market share. We must have more competition in agriculture processing and production, creating more options and markets for our farmers and ranchers. As COVID has shown us, centralization of the means of production of our food supply is something that needs to change. August Pfluger, Republican. August Pfluger of San Angelo is a decorated Air Force fighter pilot who has recently served as a national security advisor to President Donald Trump. Pfluger, a seventh-generation Texan, continues to serve as a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force Reserves, in addition to ranching in Kimball and Concho counties. A graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy, Pfluger has served in the Pentagon and NATO command and has more than 2,000 hours in the F-22 Raptor, F-15 Eagle, and T-38 Talon, with more than 250 combat hours. 1. If you can only accomplish one thing during your first term, what do you want it to be? If elected, my first priority will be to serve as an advocate for the people and businesses of Texas 11th Congressional District and showcase the important work being done here. From the oil and gas industry to agriculture to Goodfellow Air Force Base, this district is incredibly important to the future of our country, and I believe every member of Congress needs to know about it. 2. At a time when our country seems ideologically divided among party lines, if elected, how will you represent all constituents and not just your base supporters? My family has lived in this district and been a part of this community for over 150 years. That's why I care deeply about each and every person living in Texas 11 and plan to devote myself to serving the constituents of this district with hard work and integrity they expect and deserve. I will always work to put the best interests of my constituents first. 3. What is your stance on the Black Lives Matter movement? I believe that injustice visited upon any of God's children should be viewed as an injustice to us all. In order to build a more perfect union, I think we need to speak honestly about the ways our country has occasionally fallen short of its founding principles and ideals. I believe every person in this country deserves to feel that they are treated equally under the law and that their government respects their individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 4. Are there any political figures living or dead that inspire you, and why? President Reagan inspires me because he always put our national security and the well-being of the American people first. 5. What do you see as the top issue facing those who live in Texas's 11th district? What legislation would you propose to solve it? The biggest issue facing Texas's 11th congressional district is the potential for radical leftist policies, like the Green New Deal, to bring an end to the oil and gas industry and the livelihoods of so many of our constituents. In Congress, I plan to stand up to the Democratic leadership and fight to preserve our values, our economy, and our way of life for future generations. 6. What's something Texas 11 voters might not already know about you? Over the course of my 20-year career as a fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force, I lived on 3 different continents. 7. What's the biggest way COVID-19 is impacting Texas's 11th district? If elected, how do you propose to address that issue in Congress? COVID-19 is having a drastic effect on our economy and is hurting our farmers, ranchers, and our oil and gas industry. If elected, I would work with President Trump to cut job-killing regulations, promote pro-business legislation, rebuild our economy, and get the American people back to work. 8. Do you still support the proposed interstate expansion through San Angelo? Why or why not? I support the proposed interstate expansion through San Angelo and believe that a new interstate will ultimately bring new economic growth and employment opportunities to the Concho Valley. 9. What kind of inequalities do you think residents living in Texas's 11th district currently face? What should be done to address those inequalities? Lack of reliable access to broadband internet is one of the most significant structural challenges currently facing the rural residents of our Texas 11 community. We are living in a more connected world than ever before, and we cannot allow rural Texas to get left behind. The COVID-19 pandemic has just shown us how critical broadband access is for our rural residents. 10. What's the biggest issue farmers and ranchers in Texas's 11th district are facing that legislation could solve? Having a strong and equitable trading relationship with our international partners is critical for the future success of our farmers and ranchers. I was proud to stand with President Trump in support of the USMCA, and I will continue to support strong trade policies that put America first. Important election dates. Voters will cast ballots soon to see who will represent them in Texas's 11th congressional district. Here are the dates you should know. October 13th through the 30th, early voting. November 3rd, Election Day. Texas election. 10 questions we asked U.S. Senate candidates John Cornyn and M.J. Hager. By John Tufts. Published October 6th. The Standard Times sent a questionnaire to incumbent John Cornyn, Republican, and to his challenger M.J. Hager, Democrat, who are running in the United States Senate election to represent Texas. Both Cornyn and Hager were asked to keep the responses brief and limited to 4 to 5 sentences. Some responses were edited for clarity and length. Senator John Cornyn was first elected to the U.S. Senate in 2002 and is currently serving his third term after being reelected in 2008 and 2014. He sits on the Senate Finance, Intelligence, and Judiciary Committees, where he helps craft legislation on behalf of 28 million Texans. From 2013 until 2018, Senator Cornyn was chosen by his colleagues to serve as the Republican whip, the second highest ranking position in the Senate Republican Conference. A San Antonio native, Senator Cornyn has served the people of Texas for the last 3 decades as a district judge, a member of the Texas Supreme Court, and Texas Attorney General, before representing the Lone Star State in the U.S. Senate. Note, staff from Senator Cornyn's office turned in responses to these questions in the third person. 1. If you can only accomplish one thing during the next term, what do you want it to be? Senator Cornyn believes immigration reform is not only a critical need for our state and nation, but an issue that has been held in limbo by some for pure political purposes. For his part, Senator Cornyn has worked tirelessly to find common ground and move the ball forward on immigration in a fair, compassionate way. He's supportive of a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million DACA-eligible young people and has worked especially closely with Democratic Congressman Cuellar on initiatives that secure our border while ensuring the continual free flow of trade between the U.S. and Mexico. Senator Cornyn holds firmly that along with immigration reform, we must also have border security. A border wall, however, is only one piece of the puzzle. Our country must also invest in boots on the ground, surveillance technology, and judicial capacity to hear and process immigration cases. 2. At a time when our country seems ideologically divided among party lines, if elected, how will you represent all constituents and not just your base supporters? Senator Cornyn delivers thoughtful leadership for all Texans. While he is one of the most conservative members of the Senate, he is also continuously ranked one of the most bipartisan. In 2019, more than 70% of Senator Cornyn's bills and resolutions had a co-sponsor from across the aisle. This ability and willingness to work with anyone, Republican or Democrat, to get the job done is why he's also been named one of the top five most effective Republican senators. 3. What is your stance on the Black Lives Matter movement? The killing of George Floyd was a brutal, senseless, and avoidable tragedy, and one our country has witnessed countless times before. Our nation continues to have systemic inequalities in everything from education to health care to housing. Most recently, Senator Cornyn supported the Justice Act, which included impactful measures toward police reform, such as ending chokeholds, addressing no-knock warrants, and ensuring our police forces are more representative of the communities they serve. It would also finally make lynching a federal crime. Ensuring equal justice and protection under the law is something that Senator Cornyn, a former Texas Supreme Court justice and attorney general, will continue fighting for. 4. Are there any political figures, living or dead, that inspire you, and why? Senator Cornyn is a lifelong Texan who got the incredible opportunity to see the world a bit when his dad was stationed overseas. He got to grow up with his real-life hero, his father, who was a World War II veteran and POW. He often talks about how his dad taught him the value of public service and the importance of standing up for those who cannot defend themselves. 5. What do you see as the top issue facing those who live in Texas? What legislation would you propose to solve it? The coronavirus is the most critical issue facing Texas, our nation, and the entire world today. We must follow the guidance of our public health authorities, protect ourselves and others, and do our part to stamp down this virus until a vaccine can be developed. Senator Cornyn has delivered billions in federal relief since the outbreak began, pushing forward important relief bills that made testing free, ensured paid sick leave for those who are ill or caring for an ill loved one, expanded benefits to ensure school children on the free and reduced lunch program continue to receive meals while schools are closed, expanded meal delivery services for seniors like Meals on Wheels, and allocated $400 million for Texas food banks to meet increased demand. He also voted for the CARES Act, which sent direct payment checks to individuals who, through no fault of their own, were unable to work and earn a paycheck, and established the Paycheck Protection Program, a critical lifeline that helped ensure businesses could bridge the gap without laying off employees. 6. What's something Texas voters might not already know about you? When he was younger, Senator Cornyn worked as a reporter and later waited tables while he pursued his real estate license. He decided to pursue law when money became tight selling houses. 7. What's the biggest way COVID-19 is impacting Texas? If elected, how do you propose to address that issue in Congress? Senator Cornyn introduced the Continuous Health Coverage for Workers Act, allowing Americans who have been furloughed due to the pandemic to continue receiving COBRA health benefits through their employer's health plan through the end of the year. Now, as our nation looks to cautiously and safely reopen, Senator Cornyn is the chief architect of legislation that will provide common sense liability for businesses. This measure, supported by hospitals, universities, nonprofits, senior care facilities, and more, will ensure businesses can open without the threat of trial lawyers circling overhead. 8. What kind of inequalities do you think residents living in Texas currently face? What should be done to address those inequalities? The coronavirus epidemic has created a tremendous urgency to ensure all Texans have access to broadband internet. Senator Cornyn introduced the Eliminate the Digital Divide Act, incentivizing internet service providers to build out broadband access in underserved areas and ensuring it is affordable for low-income individuals. Ensuring broadband internet access for every Texan is an important, now more important than ever, as many students are learning virtually, employees are doing their jobs from home, and folks are accessing telemedicine. 9. What's the biggest issue farmers and ranchers in Texas are facing that legislation could solve? Senator Cornyn has worked with farmers and ranchers during the COVID-19 outbreak, focused on ensuring our agriculture supply chains are uninterrupted. He worked to extend CFAP eligibility to producers who sold livestock after the April 15th cutoff date, as well as open up CRP acreage for emergency haying and grazing, two things that will provide relief for our country's cattle feeders and ranchers. Additionally, Senator Cornyn supported passage of the USMCA and Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and strongly supports a repeal of the death tax, ensuring family farms continue to thrive and bolster America's food independence. 10. How do you intend to ensure the sustainability of Social Security benefits? Senator Cornyn believes that individuals should be guaranteed their Social Security benefits will never be threatened. M.J. Hagar, Democrat. M.J. Hagar became a commissioned officer in the Air Force after graduating from the University of Texas. She is a decorated veteran who served three tours in Afghanistan as a search and rescue pilot, during which time she received the Purple Heart as well as the Distinguished Flying Cross with Valor Device. In 2017, she published the memoir Shoot Like a Girl, which describes her service in Afghanistan. She also became a fierce advocate for women in the military after being denied from competing for a ground combat position because she was a woman. She successfully helped overturn military policy, which opened hundreds of thousands of jobs for women in the military. 1. If you can only accomplish one thing during the next term, what do you want it to be? We had a healthcare crisis before the pandemic, but now, 1 in 3 Texans between the ages of 18 and 65 don't have health insurance. The best health care I've ever had was when I was on military-provided TRICARE, similar to Medicare, and I believe that kind of high-quality care should be made available to all Americans. That's why I'll fight like hell for a public option to expand access while pressing choice. Texas is a state that values individual rights, freedom, and choice, and I believe that individuals should have the choice to stay on private insurance if they prefer, or opt into Medicare. 2. At a time when our country seems ideologically divided among party lines, if elected, how will you represent all constituents and not just your base supporters? I am committed to reaching out and representing all Texans, not just those who agree with me. When I work to open up hundreds of thousands of ground combat jobs for women in the military, we were successful because we built a broad coalition made up of Republicans and Democrats. But we didn't do this by sacrificing the core values. We found the common thread on each side that would bring people together. One of the most critical issues facing our country and families, rising prescription drug prices, education for our kids, and the gun violence epidemic. There is widespread agreement on solutions. We can collaborate on solutions when we have servant leaders who are working to better our country instead of those serving party leaders and wealthy special interest donors. 3. What is your stance on the Black Lives Matter movement? I stand firmly with peaceful protesters calling for reforms. We cannot move forward as a country without acknowledging the root cause of why people are protesting. Denying that systemic racism exists, like Senator Cornyn does, is part of the problem. We should universally support people's free speech and right to protest while condemning violence and damage to property. We need to take meaningful access to protect Black lives by ending systemic racism across education, housing, criminal justice, employment, economic opportunities, health care, and more to make our country as a whole stronger? 4. Are there any political figures, living or dead, that inspire you, and why? Ann Richards and Barbara Jordan. Both are Texas tough women who never took crap from anyone and had a knack for getting the job done. 5. What do you see is the top issue facing those who live in Texas? What legislation would you propose to solve it? Many Texas families were already struggling to keep up with rising costs before the pandemic, but COVID has created a full-blown public health and economic crisis. I'll fight for a public option to expand access to quality, affordable health care while preserving Texans' choice. To recover from the economic crisis, we must invest in a strong middle class, support small businesses, and enforce strict transparency measures to address rampant fraud and waste that hurts our workers. 6. What's something Texas voters might not already know about you? In 2009, I was on a rescue mission in Afghanistan as a combat search and rescue pilot when I was shot, and the helicopter I was piloting was brought down by the Taliban. When we landed, it was 9 of us against 150 Taliban fighters. We worked together to survive and keep the patient secure until help arrived. In the end, we were able to defy the odds and successfully complete the mission. Following the mission, I received a Purple Heart and became one of only a few women to be awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross with Valor for my actions. 7. What's the biggest way COVID-19 is impacting Texas? If elected, how do you propose to address that issue in Congress? Our lives have been upended by the pandemic because of failed leaders like Senator Cornyn, who undermined the advice of medical experts, downplayed the severity, spread misinformation, and failed to fight for working families in relief packages. We need leaders committed to free, accessible testing and widespread contact tracing to address this public health crisis. To help families facing economic collapse, we need to immediately restore expanded unemployment insurance, ensure paid sick leave, and secure financial assistance for struggling small businesses. We also need funding for Texas's state government, cities, and counties to avoid massive budget shortfalls that threaten layoffs for workers like teachers and first responders. 8. What kind of inequalities do you think residents living in Texas currently face? What should be done to address those inequalities? I grew up in rural Texas, and I know two of the biggest challenges facing our rural communities are rural hospitals shuttering and the digital divide. We need to expand Medicaid to address rural hospital closures and improve our telehealth capacity so rural communities can connect to virtual care. We also need to invest in broadband internet infrastructure so rural residents are connected to virtual education and job opportunities. It's past time we ensure our zip codes don't determine our ability to succeed. 9. What's the biggest issue farmers and ranchers in Texas are facing that legislation could solve? The trade war with China has cost Texas farmers and ranchers billions of dollars, with Texas farms seeing a spike in bankruptcies. A trade war is the wrong way to stop China's unfair practices. If elected, I will press the administration to pull back from this pattern of escalating tariffs and work with our allies to challenge China's practices in institutions like the World Trade Organization. 10. How do you intend to ensure the sustainability of Social Security benefits? I am committed to keeping our promises to seniors and protecting Social Security for future generations. I will oppose efforts to reduce benefits to seniors and those that have paid into Social Security throughout their lives. I am against raising the retirement age, and I don't believe we should privatize Social Security. I will protect the viability of Social Security by ensuring the wealthiest pay their fair share of taxes to support this vital program while ensuring that tax burden doesn't fall on working Texas families. And now here's the weekly gardening column that was published Sunday, October 4th. October, an ideal month to start planting vegetables. October is a great month for growing food. There are many delicious, healthy, cool season vegetables that are best planted now, including artichoke, beet, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprout, cabbage, carrot, cauliflower, chard, collard greens, garlic, kale, kohlrabi, leek, lettuce, mustard, bunching onion, radish, shallot, spinach, and turnip. Many are available locally as transplants, and these crops can also be direct seeded into the garden or flower bed. Cool season vegetables are wonderful to incorporate into flower beds or container gardens to keep the yard looking green and fresh, even as things start to turn brown and dormant later in the season. Radish is perfect for small spaces and containers since it doesn't need much room. It adds a great fresh crunch to salads and really brightens up dishes. Radish needs loose soil, so work the ground well or plant in fresh potting mix if growing in a container. Harvest the roots when they are young and tender. If left too long, they turn tough, hot, and stringy. Greens like spinach, kale, chard, and collards are very nutritious and pretty easy to grow. They prefer full sun but can tolerate part shade. They taste better when grown in cool weather, as heat makes them taste bitter. Beets are a versatile crop because in addition to the root, which can be roasted, pickled, fresh diced, finely into salads, etc., the greens are also useful. They can be used as a substitute in recipes that call for greens like spinach or chard. If the plan is to make pickled beets, they can be planted at the same time in order to be ready to process all at once. But if they are to be used periodically through the winter for meals, it's best to stagger planting. Plant a few seeds or transplants every 2 weeks so they'll be ready to eat at different times. Kohlrabi and bok choy are some unique options to try. They are both very attractive in the landscape and can be utilized in some great recipes. Bok choy makes great stir fry, and kohlrabi is nice roasted or diced up fresh and crisp in a salad. If starting from seed, prepare a smooth seed bed for optimal germination. Keep seeds damp until they sprout and establish good roots. Some seeds, like carrots and lettuce, must be exposed to light to germinate, so don't dig holes to plant in. Just scatter on top of the ground and water slightly to settle into the soil. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.